We give you all the honor, all the glory. Yes, Lord. Father, your kingdom come, and your will be done. I say yes and amen. Father,
Praise the Lord. Amen. We are in agreement. Word of God says, Jesus our Lord is our Amen. So let it be. Let everything God has ordained for us to experience be experienced by us. And those things are all good, all wonderful, all amazing. Father, we are thankful for new days, new times, new seasons. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you're calling us, O God, to step into a new sphere, a new dimension by the authority of your word. And Lord, O God, that as we move in accordance with your directives, that your hand will greatly rest upon us so that we are fulfilled at all times, secure at all times, aware at all times that you are with us. And when you are with us, nothing that the enemy has purposed will ever at any time come to pass. Only your word will come to pass in our lives. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Praise God. I celebrate every one of you in the Lord today. I'm thankful that you are here, that you're receiving the word of faith, and that you are growing in Christ Jesus. You know, it's amazing to me how many years ago I saw my children growing. And while they were growing, I only saw that there was change, but when the change took place, I did not know. Now I have grandchildren, and the same is still true. I have spiritual sons and daughters in this house, and I see these little ones. When did they grow? I don't know. But every Sunday I see them come and they are taller, and I look, they are not wearing high heels. How did that happen? We're watching some clips, some videos from years back. Actually, I think I saw it during the film screening that Sister Nicole did. And I saw the pictures of people. When did that happen? The issue is not when did it happen and knowing when it happened. It's that it happened. It happened. People grow. You don't know when and how, but they grew. They don't know when they grew. They went to bed and they were 3 feet. Woke up in the morning and they are 3'1". Did that happen? I cannot figure it out. But growth happens because of something that is inside of you already. And the thing that is inside of you that causes you to grow is the Word of God. Amen? Now, if you are malnourished because you were eating and not eating the right stuff, your growth will be stunted. You have to have the balance of the Word of God. You know, during the last few weeks, I've been talking about temptations and trials and the issues that face believers. Sometimes that's not what people want to hear. Well, I'm going to have troubles. Deliver me from all those troubles. I will never have troubles. But God says, no. In the midst of your troubles, you are growing. Something is happening. But we want to complain about issues. Want to complain about this and complain about that and complain about this and complain about that. If God is good, how come there's so much evil in the world? Did you read in the Bible that Jesus Christ died on the cross, died for everyone, paid the price for our redemption? But yet it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world, that the fact that Jesus Christ came into the life of you and I, that he anointed you and I to be the opposite of whatever it is that the enemy is doing. But the fact that he, God, gave birth to us, guided us. But the God of this world, the devil, is still operating. And that you and I are the ones that make a difference. That in the midst of all the issues and the troubles that the devil is creating all around the world, that we become the voice, the light in the world. And that the darkness will not stop us. That's what we need to be concerned about. That we can tell the person who's asking such a question, you know, the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. So it's the devil really that's causing the problem. It's the devil. But we, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, I'm here to be light in this dark world and to say to the storm, stop. Amen? Amen. We are here for a reason. We are here to be conduits of salvation. That the God who lives in us, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, should be received. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. This is why we need to live godly lives. Because they may not have seen Jesus in person. And because they cannot feel him or touch him, they cannot fall in love with him. However, that Jesus is in me and is in you. And the Jesus they need to fall in love with is the Jesus that you are carrying in on the inside. That every day, every night, every moment, as we walk around, we are presenting the Jesus that we say is living on the inside of us. So when they receive Jesus, they're receiving you. They say, Pastor, I don't know. Okay, let me read you something. We're going to continue from Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, because that's where we stopped last week. But I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, real quickly. I read to you from this particular passage of scripture earlier today in the first service. And in 2 Corinthians 4, it says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there is a devil who's blinded. The God of this world has blinded them. It goes on, it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach in Jesus Christ. We're not preaching ourselves. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Watch this statement. It's leading somewhere. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow, I'm coming. Let's go. But we have this treasure What treasure? The treasure of the glory, the treasure of the light being reflected. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then it tells us about how he was troubled and how he was persecuted and all of that. And then it comes to verse 10. Well, let me read what I read this morning. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We're carrying around the story, the life of who Jesus is, the one who died, so that there will be a manifestation of that glory in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We've been delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, watch this now. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Whatever troubles I'm going through it so that you can experience life. Whenever I'm getting squeezed, what is coming out of me is the glory of him so that you can have life. You know, in essence, I'm going through the sacrifice of all of these troubles so that you can experience life. He goes on and says, we having the same spirit of faith, as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. Just like Abraham did, we're doing the same thing. We believe and we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And this is the verse I want you to take a hold of. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Everything that's happening is for your sakes. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, why we look not at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, as I was going through all of that, you saw this is what Jesus did. This is what he's done in us. Just like the sun is shining, and the moon is a reflection of the sun. The moon doesn't have its own light, does it? It's only reflecting what the sun is given. That's the same thing with you and I. We are receiving the light of God and reflecting it. So the Jesus that you receive, you reflect. And it impacts others. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 4. And let's pull all of that together. Mark chapter 4. Starting from verse 35. Jesus, our Lord, had been teaching and says without parables, he didn't speak to anybody. Give us the parable, as we talked about last week, of the seed that was sown, and cautioned us to be careful how we hear, because our hearing is what is going to determine the increase or decrease that happens in our lives. He says, so be careful what you hear, what you're listening to, because that which you are listening to is forming you. It is building the character in you. May I make this statement first and ask this question? Are there things that you believed way back at some point in your life, this is wrong, absolutely wrong? And many years later, because of what is happening in your environment, you've tempered down and you, I guess that's the way it is. And you lowered your conviction. Has that happened to anybody here? Just me? Okay. Well, there's some truth tellers here. How many of you go shopping on Sundays? You've gone shopping on Sundays. You went to Walmart, Safeway, the grocery store. You did? Okay. Walmart was not always open on Sundays. And most of us believed we go to the house of God on Sunday and we worship God on Sundays. And then Walmart opened. And then Home Depot opened. And, I got to fix something. Home Depot, you go. Your conviction got lowered. What you believed, this is our Sabbath, it changed because you had this opportunity. What you were listening to, and you talked yourself away from your conviction. That's what happens to every one of us. We talk ourselves. I know. Because I know those times that the Lord is saying something to me and I quote a verse back to him. Because I wanted to do whatever it is I wanted to do. But let's think about it this way. Come on. let's do it this way. You know what I found out? God will not argue with you. You're going to do what you want to do. So why am I wasting my time arguing with you about it? It is based on our thinking, what we're listening to. Once upon a time, divorcing was a taboo in the Christian community. Now we have Christians, pastors that have married 2-3 times already. Where did that word go? That God hates divorce. Where did it? We should clean that off. Our level of conviction drops. When you're facing a bad setting, it might be wise to consider, God, why am I going through this? And what solution do you want me to bring to face this problem? My husband is acting crazy. My wife is acting crazy. But you brought us together. And now what used to be love is turning out to be something else. Lord, I need guidance. Now, the guidance may be stepping away for a moment. It could be all kinds of things. But the wisdom of God can step into my particular situation and help me bring about a resolution. But many times we don't wait for God. We don't wait. We just do it the way the world does. The world says divorce. The world says find another husband. The world says whatever. And we just do it that way. I am here to be happy. This man is not making me happy. This woman is not making me happy. So we say things like, we are not compatible. We're not compatible. That's good. Why aren't you compatible? I like shopping and he does not. We're not compatible. Whatever the reason is, I'm just saying we do things the way the world does it. But now let's look. In Mark 4 and 35, the Lord says, the same day after he taught them about how to listen, increase, he says, the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's cross over. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, because there were a multitude of people that were listening, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. They're all heading out, send the masses out. And he said to them, let's go to the other side. But the next statement is that they took him even as he was in the ship. They took him. That's a strange word. Because this word, this statement there, is a statement that is so silent but so loud. The Lord who teaches us about life was being faced with the issues of life. He was basically overwhelmed, so to speak. He's tired. He's pumped out everything. And he's tired, and oh man, let's go to the other side, man. Let's go. Gee, this is getting too much on me now. And they grabbed him. Literally, they grabbed him, and they took him into the ship, all wiped, and he's tired. Are you with me? He is tired. The Lord Jesus got tired. But here's the devil. Hey, you remember when he was hungry? That's when he showed up to tempt him. Now the devil shows up again. He shows up again. He's tired. He won't be able to fight me. I'm going to get him and all of them this time. When you're tired, listen up, everybody. Are you listening? Yeah. When you're tired, you are the most vulnerable. Let me say it again. When you're tired, you're most vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. When you're tired, step away. Step away. Because that's when you're not going to be thinking right. That's when you need other people around you. The Bible tells us they took him into a ship and there were many other little ships. The idea is you need People around you, that's all he's talking about. Ultimately, it's going to be about you. But there's a time when you need people who will help take you to the right place because you're tired. People who come alongside of you and say, brother, I see you're tired, and I see you're making some decisions. Pastor, I know you're a man of God, but something's happening here that is out of character. I want to come alongside of you to help you maneuver through this time. Dad, I know you're different, but you're flying off the handle. You know, you're not a person that just out of nowhere starts yelling and screaming at people. Something is wrong. How can I help? Are you with me? We're here to help each other. Jesus, our Lord, had help. When he was carrying the cross, he fell under the weight of the cross. Did he not? And in fact, the cross that he was supposed to carry all the way to Golgotha, he did not carry it all the way to Golgotha. Somebody else helped him carry that cross to the finishing point. And there are times in your life and in my life where we're going to need somebody to help us fulfill our call and our destiny. That make sense to you? Okay. We all need that. Nobody is an island to themselves. And the Lord let us know that help was needed. He says, and when they had sent the multitude away, because the multitude drain you. And as God generates increase in this house, I'm not going to have to do everything. I'm going to need more help. People that will stand and say, Pastor, I'm here for you. I was that for my spiritual father. To be there, to carry that anointing that was on him, to minister to the masses. So he can come and sit down and preach for a few minutes and take off and say, okay, you pray for the healing and the deliverance of the people and be able to step up. I did not say, oh, I don't know. I can't do it. No, no, no. That grace that is on him, by the very fact that he called me to do something, that same grace comes upon me. And if I call on any one of you to come stand behind this pulpit or pray for somebody, that same grace will come on you. That make sense? We all need help. He says, and there were also with him other little ships. And the devil, recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ was tired, he says, and there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Do you understand? Water is pouring into the ship. And the ship is full of water. In another passage of scripture, it tells us that the disciples, they were busy, you know, trying to get rid of the water that was pouring in. But this is what I want you to see here. He says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The ship is full of what? But he's asleep. How is the ship full of water and he's still asleep? Why is he not getting wet? Because you and I can be persecuted. We can be attacked and not be in distress. So whatever the circumstances were, they were not affecting him, even though he was tired. But devil, you're not going to kill me. I said we're going over to the other side. And to the other side, we're going. And the guy goes to sleep. And the water is pouring. And guess what? The water, when it came close, and this might sound a little bit silly, but when it came close, it went around. We can't touch him. I know what I'm talking about because I've seen something similar happen, but different. Many years ago, we were baptizing just down the street here on Mountain and McGregor. There used to be a community center in there, and they had a pool, a swimming pool. And we were having a baptism, and there was this sister that wanted to get baptized but was very scared of water. You know her, and some of you here will know her, so you can always call and find out this story. Sister Sharon. So it was her turn to be baptized. She doesn't like water. She can't swim. I'm in the pool. I don't swim either. So I'm over here baptizing people. And it comes to her turn. And she goes under the power of God. And as I stand here talking to you, the water goes around her and climbs up on her head like this. Doesn't touch any of this. And I'm watching this strange phenomenon, and all of a sudden, the water starts, something starts in the water. And she starts floating. She's floating and she goes to the deep end. Still slain in the spirit. She's at the deep end and she circles, and people are all over the place looking at this, and I could hear some people saying, "Is she dead? Is she dead?" And she's all the way over there, and she comes full circle, comes to where I am. I didn't touch her. Comes to where I am. And then she wakes up. I said, "Lord, if she had done that way over there, oh, we would have had a big, serious trouble." She went all the way and back. That's God. Amen? But the amazing way it started, what got me to that story, is the fact that there was something happening that was against gravity. How do you lie down and water cuts you like this and goes up? Oh, that should not be happening. And that's what I was looking at. What's happening here? And I'm looking at that, and next thing I see, she's going. Full circle. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in the boat, sleeping on a pillow. It is wet all around, but nothing is touching him. The Bible says the boat was full of water. And they come. In fact, in another passage, it says Jesus was in the bottom, in the bottom of the ship. So water has come, and definitely flows down to the bottom for it to be full. And he's still sleeping. And see, this guy is wading through the water. Hey! Jesus, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? That's the accusation of the enemy. Jesus, don't you care? And he arose and rebuked the wind, because the wind was what was causing the problem. You see, most of us will focus on bailing the water out. Jesus, don't you care? Come help us bail the water out, please. No, he went to the roots of the problem. When you're going through situations in life, don't have a knee-jerk experience and start reacting. Reacting doesn't help anybody. God calls you and I to respond to the situation. And if you're going to respond correctly, respond because you deal with the thing that is causing the problem. Amen? Go to the roots. And in this case, the root of the problem was the wind. It's the wind that is troubling the water, causing all this commotion. And he says to that wind, peace, be still. Be still, stop it. He speaks, peace, be still. He says, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Everything calmed down, because he addressed the main problem, the wind that was generating this storm. But what was the devil's agenda? He's tired. Let me get him now. But when you have Jesus on the inside of you, hear me, when you have Jesus on the inside of you, there is nothing the devil is about to engineer that's going to hurt you. When your faith is in God. It's not that he won't try. He will try everything. But you come out. Oh, but Pastor, I know somebody that had problems and the problem took them out. Do you know everything about that particular situation? Do you really? We had a young man a few decades back, an only son of a woman that attended here. And, you know, teenagers go through some rough times and whatever else. And he said, fooling around with some drugs. At that time, ecstasy was a drug. Mama and I were down south, the place called Thief River Falls. We're ministering there. And we ministered on Friday and Saturday, and early, very early on Sunday, started heading down here to the church. At that time, I didn't have my own personal vehicle. We had a church van. Some of you remember that church van. We got on the road with this church van. There was a blizzard. We're coming. We're about halfway from there to here. And all of a sudden, Mama grabs her head. Ah! And she says, so this is how people die. I'm driving, I'm looking at her, I said, what's she talking about? I can understand you got pain, but why would you say this is how people die? We got to church. That particular day, before we came here, we went upstairs first. And the phone rang. Normally, we wouldn't answer the phone. But we answered the phone, and here is this sister bawling her eyes out, crying, screaming, my son is dead, my son is dead. There are people here that know this story. My son is dead, my son is dead. Where is he? He's at the health science. Okay, when we finish service, we'll come right away. So we finished the service, we got into the van, we drove down to health science. This kid is on the bed. He was brain dead. Brain dead, he's finished. Started praying for him. That was on Sunday. And I said to him, wake up tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow. Went home, we alerted the church. Saints were going down there. And his fellow students, they are all there, everybody crying. This young boy is dead. We get there Monday evening. And the doctors were talking about him. And they ask, what are you guys doing? He said, we're praying for him to live. He said, don't do that. I said, why? Well, if he wakes up like you're praying, he's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. That would not be the right thing to do. And I'm thinking, while you're telling me that, I'm thinking, how do you all of a sudden cease to be a human being and you become a vegetable? Okay. So as a guy, one of the top neurosurgeons in the country, he just come in from BC to Winnipeg a month or so before. I said, you mean to tell me that if anything happens with this kid and he gets up and walks out of this place, that it will be the doing of God and not you? He said, absolutely, it's not going to happen. It's finished. I'm the top of the top in my department. It's not going to happen. So we go home. We come back on Tuesday, and we hear the nurses talking about what happened the night before when they were changing nurses, making a shift. The kid is on the bed. They are keeping his body cool because they wanted me, actually, they told me to convince the mother to donate his organs. Because his organs were perfectly okay. Why do we waste this child? You know, let something good come out of this. Let him donate his organs. But we are praying on the contrary. So they're keeping his body very cool to preserve those organs. So there comes this nurse into the room, not expecting for this young man, I'm not mentioning the names very purposefully, but there are people here. You know the story, right? You know the story? Okay. At least two people here. You know the story? Okay. All right. There's a few in here today that know this story. This kid is there in the bed, and all of a sudden he goes, bing. His eyes open up. Nurse takes off. Runs out of the place, knocking everything out. I thought you guys said the kid is dead. His brain dead. Yes. How come his eyes are open? I went in there and the eyes opened. 2 weeks later, the kid walks out of that hospital. Hallelujah. Not a vegetable. Because we believed the word of God. God is faithful. That family went through a challenge. You know, I used to believe, you know, when I was still in Nigeria and then moved to Canada, you know, hey, if God raises the dead through this ministry, hallelujah, praise God, we'll be the talk of town. Everybody will rush down here and say, wow, there's so much power in that church. Let's go there. That's a place to be. Huh? Do you know how long that sister whose only son died and was raised back from the dead, how long she stayed in this church after that? Maybe about 3 weeks. She gave a testimony about the miracle that God did for her, and she confessed. She said, you know what? I had already agreed to have his organs donated. We didn't know it. Nobody here in this church knew it. And so we stayed in faith. And so we were not double-minded, wishy-washy. You don't know why that person did not get whatever it is. They may have gone wishy-washy. I'm not saying that that's always the case. But you really don't know where people are in their faith. God raised up that young man. They testified right here in this church, this building, of what God did for them. And the next thing I know, I cannot be in that church. There's too much power in there. Hey, and yeah, I was thinking, there's so much power in here, the people will be willing. And the lady says, there's so much power there, I'm not willing. How does that happen? Oh, we found out later. I'm not going to tell the whole story, because I'm not a gossip. But there were things that were happening behind the scenes. You see, remember where we started, be careful what you listen to, right? There was a chaplain in that particular place that was Buddhist. And that chaplain had been talking sweet talk to our hearing, but did not have the power to raise the son up. But she walked out to have a relationship with this Buddhist chaplain. Because of what you hear, you can lose your conviction, your sensibility, your direction. We dealt with the issue, turned the situation around, that child got restored. Maybe I'm talking too much. But I'm talking about how people think when they don't stay focused. That young man has his own apartment, I think has his own children now. No problem. It's one thing for the mother not to be here. It's another thing for him not to be here. And what did I hear about that story? He was looking at the mirror one day, and it looks like fire was coming out of his eyes. He said, oh, what is this? I'm not going to that place. Too much power. What does God's word say? In the day of his power, the people will be willing. What does the enemy say? Don't agree with that. And there are things that are going to happen in this church. And when they are happening, you've got to have the conviction, this is where God has brought me. This is what God is doing in my life. I'm going to continue in the word of God. I'm going to tap and go closer to this power. Well, it's not the first time. Do you remember the people of Israel? God calls them to a convocation, and God's power showed up, and they said to Moses, Moses, look, you deal with it. You go. You deal with God. You used to it. When you finish, you come talk to us about it. God wants you to have a personal relationship. Amen? God wants you to have a personal relationship. There were other ships with him. What happened to those other ships? Were they filling up with water too? The Bible doesn't tell us. But if they were, by the one act of Jesus Christ, when he proclaimed and rebuked those winds, and great calm came, when he said, peace be still, he, solving his problem, solved their problem. I want you to hear this. As you go through what you're going through, as God saves you and God delivers you, God will deliver others because of what has happened in your life. What God is going to do in us and with us in this last of the last days is going to be contagious. Amen? Hallelujah. God is going to bless me and make me a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants to impact our community at large. Everybody being touched. When the starving of famine came because Israel or Samaria was surrounded or was on a siege. When God did a miracle because of the four lepers who moved towards the camp of the enemy, everybody got fed. Everybody got blessed. The only person that died was the person who was saying, it is not possible. Even if God stepped down, it won't happen. It will not happen. It cannot happen. And the prophet said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to eat out of it. And that's exactly what happened. The guy stood in the way trying to control the traffic, and the people trampled him under. We have to believe that the Lord who said to us, go on to the other side, that sent word is going to get us onto the other side. And any act of unbelief will not stop the will of God here, but the person with the unbelief is the one that is going to be carrying the weight of their unbelief. Amen? Amen? He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You're hanging around me. And you're acting like everybody else. You're in this church, and you're acting like everybody else. You're hearing the word of God here, and you're acting like everybody else. Why are you so fearful, and why is it that you have no faith? And the Bible says, and they feared exceedingly. He just said, why are you so fearful? And the Bible says, they feared exceedingly. They're still towing the same foolish track. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. No, he just told you that sea, that wind was supposed to obey you too. Is that what he just said? Oh, what amazing faith that is. Well, you could have done the same thing. Are you saying, what manner of man is this? You could have done exactly what I did. Same thing. Why would he say that? Because you've been with me. How is it that you have become a basket that cannot hold water? Everything is leaking. Put some lining on or something, whatever, you know, so you can hold something. Come on. Even with you as a basket that is leaking all over the place, just a little dab of the water that touches you should turn your situation around. You've got what you need. I need more this. I need more that. I need more this. And God says, you don't need nothing more of anything. You got everything. Don't you have me inside of you? So open your mouth and let me speak through that mouth of yours. Address the roots of the problem. Every one of us need to grow. It's not everything after you've been around here for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever amount of years, that you say, let me run to the pastor. No. Some things you need to grow up and deal with. And if you still cannot handle it, then call somebody else and say, I need some firepower around here. Amen? But if you are tired, if you're weary, if things are not percolating as they should and you know it, your brothers and your sisters around you should be able to come alongside. We need to come alongside of each other. Nobody should carry anything by themselves. Amen? I see my brother trying to carry that table. He can handle it. But if both of us join hands, it's going to be easier. Why don't you make life easier for your brother or your sister by just linking hands with them? And say, let's do this together. Carry that side, I'll carry this side, and we'll move this thing out of here. We might end up doing more. For the word of God is still true. One shall chase 1,000, and 2, 10,000. You know what the verse I just quoted you now? Strange thing about it. The strange thing about it is that it's a statement that God made to the Israelites. He says, when you start fooling around and you stop believing, your enemy, one of them, will chase 1,000, and two of them, 10,000 of you, when we don't obey God. Flip it around. In another passage, he flips it around and he says, when the enemy comes, when you are faithful and you're following the pathways of God, when the enemy comes, he says, one of you shall chase 1,000 and two, put 10,000 to flight. When the Lord fights for you. When the Lord fights for you. Same difference. It says, how should one chase 1,000 in Deuteronomy 32:30? This is the other passage. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Says that's the only time you are going to be in that state. But I'm telling you that the reverse is possible. When we follow God, God will fight for us. And the reverse result, at the minimum, is the result. So I say to you today as I wrap, yes, God said, go over to the other side. Yes, problems rose up against them while they were busy obeying God. But the finality is this, that whatever the enemy tried to accomplish was never accomplished. What Jesus Christ said when he rebuked the enemy, the wind, that's what happened. And they arrived on the other side. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So our problem is not the problem. We just need to have faith in God. Receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you that we're crossing over and we will exercise the authority that's in you, that has been put into us. We will speak under the unction and the anointing of your Spirit and will reverse everything that the enemy has purposed. For this day we declare peace, be still. We speak peace over the world. The enemy will want to create an atmosphere where this world is engulfed in a crisis that will bring about great pain for so many. And we stand in righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we declare this day by the authority of your word, peace be still. Let the engineers of this havoc that's happening in the Middle East, let these traitors of mankind that are trying to create problems and generate, oh God, an atmosphere of a world war, let their strongholds be destroyed. Let their influence be destroyed. Let them be cut off. And let there be peace in the land. Whoever is an engineer that is fanning these problems, Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name, we declare them cut off now. Satan, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. You will not destroy innocent lives. You, on the day that was to be the greatest day of joy, at the Feast of Tabernacles, you contradicted what God had proclaimed. And now we declare in Jesus' name that you will not succeed. For this day we declare that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that there will be a celebration in the Middle East, a celebration in Israel, a celebration in Gaza, a celebration all over where people who want peace to reign are. That we declare by the authority of the Word of God. And there was a great calm. So let it be. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes. They said, yes. They said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, thank God for every one of you that came tonight to participate in the Word of God. Wednesday will be our next time together, and then Friday. And as you very well know, on Fridays we'll no longer stream the prayer meetings on YouTube and Facebook. If you want to participate with us in a prayer meeting, then you will have to log in on Zoom. And the numbers for Zoom, the ID code and the passcode is on your screen. Do take note of it and join us on Zoom and in person for the prayer meetings. Amen? At this time, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not exercised your right to honor God with your giving, as of yet, this will be the time to do so. And as you very well know, we are also raising funds for the second week to bring some people out of slavery. And if that's what you would like to do and you are not able to do it last week or again this week morning, you can bring that particular offering for the deliverance of those people that are held in slavery, and just bring it and just drop it here. Thank God for every one of you that gave towards that end, and I'll let you know how much it is that we effectively sent and how many families that we were able to, get out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good? Amen. Amen. I'd like to say